Election officials in New York and New Jersey have taken extraordinary measures to open polling places in communities hard hit by Superstorm Sandy. In New Jersey, fewer than 100 polling places were without power, compared with 800 a few days ago. In New York City, 60 of more than 1,300 polling places remain unusable and have been relocated. The city has shuttle buses ferrying people to those sites. Both states are also allowing voters displaced by the storm to cast provisional ballots at any polling place in their respective state. And as we reported yesterday, New Jersey is also allowing voting by email and fax. And down the shore, a mobile voting station is visiting emergency shelters. Michael Cooper is with the New York Times. Michael, what are you seeing and hearing?
Well, as you might imagine, there's a fair bit of chaos going on as people try to vote in the wake of this terrible hurricane. You know, in places like the Rockaways, which is a beachfront community in Queens, New York, that really got hammered by the storm, they set up a mobile temporary voting place in a tent this morning. But, you know, although there was a generator on hand from FEMA, initially there wasn't fuel there, so it was dark, it was cold, there was confusion, you know, and you're seeing things like that happening around the region as election officials, you know, working very hard, but trying to confront, you know, really formidable challenges.
Yeah, well, you know, so people voting in the dark, I mean, it is kind of heartwarming to see how these people, how hard they're working to vote. But both New York and New Jersey are expected to, in the bulk, go for President Obama. So what state and local races are pulling people out? Just tell us briefly.
Sure. You know, there are a bunch of congressional races in parts of both states that were hit by the storm. You know, on the eastern end of Long Island, there's a House race where Tim Bishop, a Democrat, is running for re-election against Randy Altshuler, a Republican who almost won the seat 2 years ago. Lots of people lost homes, lost powers. It's unclear exactly how that might tilt the race. In New York State, the state legislature, the state Senate, you know, is a narrow edge right now for Republicans. Democrats are trying to recapture it. A number of local races could tilt the balance one way or the other. And, you know, in places like Connecticut, you know, you have a Senate race with Linda McMahon running against Chris Murphy. Depending on, you know, how people decide to turn out to vote, you know, facing all of the issues they are with, you know, gas shortages, electricity problems, ruined homes, you know, depending on which people are more affected, it could potentially tilt some of those races.
Yeah. And by the way, I mentioned, you know, that these are blue states largely that we're talking about, New Jersey, New York. But this is a year where the popular vote could be very important. So we don't want to at all discount that. Every vote does count. And just briefly, again, how is the turnout overall?
Well, you know, we're hearing reports of long lines in lots of places, but I think most people expect turnout will be down considerably in all of these places because people are displaced. They have lost their homes. They can't get cash for their cars. In many cases, you know, we've spoken to voters who couldn't figure out where their polling site was. And although in both states you can pass those provisional or affidavit ballots, not everybody is going to wait in line and take the effort when they have so many other things on their plate.
And of course, Michael Cooper, again of the New York Times, Sandy is having an impact on the voting, but it's had an impact on the election.
Sure. I mean, it was a real October surprise. You saw both candidates go off the trail for a while. It knocked the presidential campaign out of the news. It, you know, gave the president a chance to appear presidential and do things in the midst of a crisis. But, you know, inevitably there will also be questions about the speed of the federal reaction to it.
Yeah.
So it was a big change at the last minute.
Michael Cooper, political reporter for the New York Times, reporting on that region so hard hit by Superstorm Sandy. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And, you know, he mentioned the hardship that voters are facing, and you might want to say you think it's hard now. Historian Jill Lepore once told us the story of a voter who was beaten, stabbed, and shot at. He was taking his ballot to the poll in Baltimore in 1859.
Well, just because it was possible for people who are at the polls to tell how he was going to vote based probably in this case on the color of his ballot, so that ruffians who are paid by the parties to work the ballots, they're called shoulder strikers, can sort of bully you away from reaching the polling place.
Imagine that, a guy who was shot at, beaten on election day. And by the way, when the result was challenged and this particular ballot was asked about, Congress ruled the election valid. Because they said any man of ordinary courage could have made it to the polls despite being shot out. So men and women of ordinary courage, get out to the polls. You're listening to Here Now.